Hi everyone, and welcome. I'm Miley, and on this podcast, I will be interviewing Isha Matre. After she finished a PhD in microbiology, she moved from academia to be a science communicator, and today she will present you the upcoming Pint of Science Festival happening in Zurich from 22 to 24th of May. Enjoy!
Sirup auf Radio Lora 97,5 MHz.
Could you please present yourself and tell us about your role in Pint of Science?
Hi, I'm Isha. I am a postdoctoral researcher turned science communicator. And right now what I do is I want to, you know, be part of events where you bridge the gap between general public and introduce them to our scientific world and what we do in academia. And also introduce people behind the scenes of amazing discoveries that we read about every day. And so in Pint of Science, what we are doing is we are taking scientists from Zurich. We are asking them to present their research in a very relaxed setting in bars. And they can interact with public. The public can ask them questions. There are some games that we have planned based on the talks, so it is kind of making science more interesting for people.
I have seen in your LinkedIn that you moved from academia to work in science communication. So why do you think it is important to communicate science to the public?
So my research was based on bacterial biofilms and infectious diseases, and I always thought that we scientists live in a bubble where we talk about our research to people who understand our research, and we don't really know how to break that bubble and mix with people who do not work on things that we do to present it in a more broad sense, right? Like if you hear a documentary of animals mating, it's quite interesting for people because it is presented in such a way. But fundamental science, something that is very important, like infectious diseases, physics, astronomy, climate change, something that people don't understand, but they want to understand, it's not presented in a very easy manner in which they can attend attention of people. So I felt that this is something that is needed. And now that I was changing the countries because of pandemic, I thought maybe I could have this role as a science communicator where I could bridge these gaps in different countries that I'm going to live in my future.
Is it something that you succeed to do in Pint of Science?
When I moved to Zurich, I heard about Pint of Science, that because it was happening, it was on my timeline because I was looking at tweets and posts about science communication. And I read about Pint of Science and I was like, wow, this is the kind of initiative that I want to be part of. And so in Zurich, it wasn't happening last year when I moved here. So I was interested in seeing where it is happening and if we can, organize it in Zurich. For some reason, it was too late to organize in Zurich last year. So I wrote an article on my blog about Pint of Science, its history and how it started. And that introduced me to this wonderful person known as Elodie. She is the national coordinator, or I think she's the international coordinator of Pint of Science. She is French, but studied in UK. And she's a wonderful person who loves to talk about science and communicate science and give people tools to communicate science. And she told me about Pint of Science in a very attractive way that, we need more people like you in this drive to organize more events like this in different cities. So if you talk about Pint of Science itself, it started in 2013 in UK. First, it started only in 3 cities. And then the researchers who organized this Pint of Science, these were researchers, just wanted to communicate with people in their local hangout places, you can say bar, or some places where people can have relaxed conversation, where people can, take a break and listen to a music. And these are the places where the scientists approached to talk about science, and this was a success. And therefore, slowly and steadily, all the researchers who moved to other places, they started having this umbrella of Pint of Science, where they started organizing it in different other cities. Today, you go to any continent, you will find Pint of Science in one of the cities in many countries that we have. So today, it is organized in 20-plus countries. And if you see the number of cities, it's like 400-plus cities.
Okay, that's really impressive.
That's really big. And for me, it was like, wow. I mean, yes, and Zurich needs it too, because there are so many researchers. I have research friends. My husband is a researcher. And so we want to talk about what we do. We want to introduce ourselves. We want to give a glimpse of our lives, our research, our work to public. And so it was really something that I wanted to be part of. And so we just made sure that we get Pint of Science in Zurich in 2023.
Nice. So do you know how old Pint of Science is?
The first thing, the first event in UK that was organized was in 2013. So not very old.
Yeah, it's not that old.
In Zurich?
So yeah, it's pretty new in Switzerland. And so far, is it successful? Did you manage to gather a lot of people to this, your festivals, your event? Mm-hmm.
So in Zurich, this is a third such festival. There was an event organized in 2019, mm-hmm. and it received a good response. Many people have heard about Pint of Science, and that's a good thing. That mm-hmm. means yeah. that people know. The only thing is that we need to make it more global, make it more, maybe use tools of different communications, visuals, YouTube, Instagram, and social media to make it more palatable and more interesting and more attractive for people of every age to attend this festival. So if it is successful, I would say that it is successful in different groups, mm-hmm. like students know it, researchers who have been part of Pint of Science know about it, public who has been, who has witnessed it knows about it, but if they know how often it happens, how long it takes for it to happen, I don't know about that. I would know how Zurich responds is this year.
Okay, and what kind of audience do you target for your events?
So the audience that thinks that science is scary, I think they should definitely come. because the concept of the science being for intellectuals is a very flawed concept, because I think science is observing life. Mm-hmm. Like it could be like observing nature, it could be observing stars, planetary things, or your own body. Mm-hmm. So I think every person is in a way scientific. We all are thinking about climate, or we are thinking about how to lead a healthy lifestyle. And so it is for people who want to understand science. You ask me what age group of people should attend. I think 7+ onwards, anyone could attend. This year in Zurich, we are organizing it in English. Mm-hmm. So it would be nice if people understand English. But the speakers have someone to translate it in different other languages like German, French, or Italian.
Okay. But is there a reason why is it in English? Even if Zurich city is mostly from...
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. German. So it is about what the speakers wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So we approach speakers because we thought they were interesting, their profiles were interesting, and we wanted to do something about... we wanted to have topics that are very current topics. Like, if you see, this year's Zurich event has something about space, because, it's always a hot topic. We have researchers that work on climate change.
Okay.
Not just, terrestrial climate change, but also people who work on ocean, monitoring climate change in oceans. We have people who work on geology and, you know, geomicrobiology.
Okay.
We have people who work on gut microbes and also work on gut, insect gut, and what we can understand about our health from insect gut. So we wanted to have like topics that are interesting enough, that are hot enough, that need to be conveyed in a most nuanced way to people of Zurich. And these are Zurich researchers, you know. So we just chose speakers that we think that would have this criteria, and they preferred to present in English.
Okay. So you said that it's better if they are plus 7 years old, and I would say till 100 years old.
If you can walk to the bar, you're invited.
That's great. But do you need any scientific background in order to understand the talks?
I think the only thing that you need is a curious mind.
Curious and open mind, or?
Not open. You can have questions where you are doubting the things that are being said. It's fine, because science is discussion about different ideas, and we want more people with different mindsets, different thought process to come and have this interaction. And so everyone who's curious, they don't need prior scientific aptitude or any other knowledge of the subject that they are going to attend. If they have any even, you know, some spark of interest about the topic, like we are talking about space, we're talking about climate, we're talking about gut microbes, we're talking about brain and how it functions. We're talking about immunology. We're talking about DNA and RNA technology. So if you want to know more about this, you just have an expert who's going to be in the local bar and just hear it.
That's really great to know that there is a place where we do not need a scientific background. We just need curiosity and interest, and it's open to everybody. That's really wonderful to know that. So could you tell us where the talks will take place in Zurich, like the venue?
So this year in Zurich, we have chosen the BQM, which is near ETH and University Zurich. It's a famous, popular student bar. So everyone who, you know, knows ETH knows BQM. We also have events like the Lion Pub. On Monday, specifically on Monday, we have one event in Zoological Museum, which is a highlight because this is like, I think, the only city who's having an event in the museum. So along with the museum being open for the public, you would also hear some amazing talk on space and astrophysics.
Yeah, it's in the Zoological Museum. Yeah, this museum is really great.
Yes, so come. Like, all the listeners should come and check this museum out, and also check some amazing talks at this museum on Monday.
Do you think
22nd.
The people are allowed also to like have a tour, walk around the museum after or before the talk?
I think so. I think this museum is free.
Mm-hmm.
This museum is not paid, so it is free for people to go. But I don't know how much of the museum space is accessible because these talks are going to be 6 p.m. onwards. And I think the museum also closes for the night. So I can't promise the accessibility, but what I can promise is great talks, great beer. So this particular event on this day is sponsored by Welcome Strangers, which is a very local beer company. And they have beers based on planet. So you can have some good IPA while you're listening to the talk, and some things to munch on.
And what about the children? Because I don't think that the children will drink some beers.
I think there are non-alcoholic drinks as well.
Nice.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
And how do you choose your venues?
Oh, I think it is based on the ones that say yes to us.
Mm-hmm.
So this year's venue, we went back to people who organized 2019 event with us. So BQM was the one. The Lions Pub is new. But we just approached them, and the ones who said yes, we booked them.
Okay. And I have seen it's quite common, or I would say it's like a landmark for Pint of Science to do their events in bars. And is science that easy that we can learn it in bars? Don't we need a little more formal environment in order to understand science?
I think formal is boring. I am of an opinion. I don't know if the Pint of Science organizers were, the main organizers were also of that opinion, but I completely, if they were, I completely agree with them that when you are in a very relaxed setting, you can have some really breakthrough conversations. You can have conversations about ideas, about politics, about ideologies, about theology. So why not science?
True.
So I think it's a very good concept where people can be relaxed. There is no fuss about things. You don't have to be quiet or, you know, very formal. You just have to just give it a listen and ask questions if you have any.
Yeah, that makes sense. While you are in the lecture and there is the professor, there is a big wall between like the students sitting on their chairs and the professor in the front. So yeah, maybe that change of environment is an icebreaker.
Yeah. That's true. That's there is definitely
not
an icebreaker.
This wall. That's separate the public, all the non-scientific public, to the scientist.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice. How do you choose your speakers or guests?
So we have this interesting way that we first ask, we call for volunteers, and then the volunteers become part of the event. And these volunteers can be anyone. They can be students, they can be researchers, they can be postdocs, they can be PhD students, or they can be alumni, you know, like people like me who are science communicators. Anyone who wants to organize and be the voice bridging the gap between the science and the society can be part of Pint of Science volunteer team. And so when we have this volunteer team, we ask volunteers to decide what the theme is going to be. And they decide, okay, if this is the theme, who are some interesting people in Zurich who are working on this theme? So that's how we decide. It's completely up to the volunteers and the teams that then organize the minute part of the events.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are the speakers. We are going to have these speakers speaking on certain things. And then they also organize the timeline of the event, like what goes between the two speaker conversations, like what interactive sessions to have. So we are going to have quiz, we are going to have scavenger hunt, we are going to have magic show.
Okay.
So all some very, very fascinating interactive activities between the speaker talks. This is just to make it more informal kind of setting where people are just having fun.
I didn't know that also students can apply to it.
Yes,
I
everyone.
Always thought it was mostly confirmed researchers that could apply to Pint of Science as a speaker. But so, for instance, a student that is really interested into a subject and would like to share about it, how could he or she apply?
So I think the speakers can apply. There is a speaker Google form that you can fill up and you can apply. And the team of volunteers then goes through these forms and then chooses the appropriate candidate.
Okay, can we find everything on your website?
Yes.
For Pint of Science
Yes,
website?
You can find if you want to become part as a speaker. So there is a Google form in way you can participate, and then you can choose how to participate. If you want to participate as a volunteer, as a speaker, as a sponsor.
Okay.
So in any format.
Oh, that's really nice. You said that there will be a lot of games, like interactive activities. So it's not something like we will listen to a speaker for an hour and then it's open conversation. It's really interactive, the whole talk.
Yeah, so I think the speakers will get to present. It is up to them how they want to do it. I think they can take questions during the talk as well, mm-hmm. but there will be a time for questions after the talk, mm-hmm. where people can really like ask questions and that conversation can go on. If the questions are interesting enough, then we would probably delay the interactive activity. But between the first speaker and second speaker, we thought if the audience is really stiff, we thought we could have some games where things could get more interesting. So we have goodie bags for winners of these interactive events. And these are sponsored by Oral Fusli and Enzo Biochem. So you can get some goodie bags if you win.
Could you tell us how the talk would be like? Would they talk about their research, about something they discover? Like, how is it going to be?
So I think it is about their research, about the topic that they do research in. They're going to introduce the topic, and they have these some very interesting questions that they have come up with. For example, like why astronomers get high when they search alien world. Like why alien world topic is so, you know, interesting for people. Some people are going to talk about the recipe for planets, or do we hear in the ear the billion pieces of T-cell puzzle. So if you could see, all these topics are things that they work on, mm-hmm. things that they are expert in. And so maybe they might introduce something about their academic life. I don't know. It's their free will how they want to talk.
Okay.
But it will be a mix of both. And if people are interested to know about their academic life, they can ask questions like, how did you get interested in this particular topic, for example?
And after the talk, do people have time to exchange with the speaker? Also?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they can drink with the speaker afterwards.
And how many speakers is there in one night event?
So we have this event for 3 nights, from 22nd May mm-hmm. to 24th May. And there are going to be 2 venues each night. For the first night, it's going to be Zoological Museum and BQM. Mm-hmm. And at each venue, there are going to be 2 speakers.
Okay.
The next 2 days, that is 23rd and 24th, instead of Zoological Museum, we are going to have the events in the Lions Pub. But the BQM stays constant for all 3 days.
And how long a talk is?
So it's up to the speakers. So we have given them some rough idea that it will be about 15 to 20 minutes talk followed by questions. But you know, sometimes because it's an interactive session or it's an informal way, I think the speakers can also take questions during the talk. Mm. You know, so it's completely up to the speakers. But I'm sure it's going to be interesting enough for everyone to be part of this talk.
Radio LoRa 97.5 megahertz. For LoRa to be broadcasting to megahertz, we need your participation. Be part of this valuable project. As a non-commercial and non-profit radio station, LoRa is depending on donations by listeners and supporters. Your help provides future operations and development of this independent media outlet. LoRa, your financial support is tax deductible.
We need money. Money, money, money.
And you said before that it's open to everybody and also non-scientific person. But how a non-scientist could be sure whether the stated information is accurate?
That's a wonderful question, and it is very important to have a sense of doubt that, okay, I don't know if this is true. That's a very good point. And of course, today we have internet where all kinds of information is available on our fingertips. How do we know if it's accurate or not? You can cross-check with other researcher who is expert in the topic, if you happen to know them. Or you can, initiate a correspondence with the person who gave you this wonderful talk that you're interested in. And you can write to them, you can interact with them. If you are interested in topic, you can know more, read about them, read research journals. Reading research paper is something that is very common in academic culture. Mm-hmm. But I think there is this one efforts are being made so that the research papers can have language that maybe people who don't work on that topic can also understand.
Okay.
So it should be more palatable in terms of absorbing the information. And thankfully so, there are many journals who are approaching this way of writing a research paper. So maybe even if you are not expert in the topic, you might find a research paper in a good journal, good peer-reviewed journal, mm-hmm. where you can cross-check the information.
Okay, but if we are not used to search online for scientific research papers, like how do we know how to search? Is Pint of Science making some extra resources available on their website?
No, because these events, there are so many speakers, and every city has its own events and mm-hmm. own speakers. So it's not possible for us to put out the resource material. But if you're interested, you can contact the particular speaker.
Mm-hmm.
You can write to us. We can give you the details of the speaker, and you can start your own correspondence.
Okay. How do you choose the topics? Like you pick first the guest, and then you're like, okay, the guest is an expert in this field, so we will do it. That will be the subject, or do you pick first the subject and then you search for the speaker?
I think it's completely up to the team. It's up to the team that what they decide. We were really interested in Daniel Angerhausen, who's a ex-NASA scientist, mm-hmm. and he's a ETH professor now, and we wanted him. And so, of course, we decided that let's have a session on space. And so we also found another speaker who works on space for that particular night.
Do you try to follow the current trends?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on the team and what the inclination of the team is.
Mm-hmm.
If the team knows a wonderful speaker who can be really interested to present on the Pint of Science events, then they contact the speaker and make arrangements. So it's completely up to the team, and every city might have a different approach.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. That means one event is really special, meaning that there will be no one like this one in another city.
Exactly.
That's
and this Pint of Science happens every year at the same time, simultaneously in 400 cities.
Mm-hmm.
And so you never know. Maybe speakers can get repeated over the years, but I think it's going to be very unique every year. And it depends on the team that is organizing.
You said that Pint of Science happens every year. There is no other time during the year that we can find any talks or events from Pint of Science?
That's very interesting. So I think every country has a unique approach.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow a Pint of Science handles on Instagram, you can follow handle from France, from Germany, from Switzerland, from Austria, from Kenya, from Mexico, from lots of places. you would see that, you know, maybe they do take part in announcing certain other events and festivals happening around,
mm-hmm.
just to be active, you know, on social media. So we do partner with other events happening. But Pint of Science event is just happening in May, 3 days.